Welcome, everyone, and thanks for tuning in for today's teleconference. It's Nick Carrazza speaking. I run the Income for Life program with my brother, Tom Carrazza, here in the Toronto area. Really, we focus on real estate investing throughout the GTA or Golden Horseshoe area, Southern Ontario. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, and with our members having some great success investing in real estate around here. Today, what we're doing is we have an interview with John Paul Hunt, who's one of our Income for Life members, who's been investing with us and using the systems that we use in the Golden Horseshoe area. I think John Paul first heard about us from one of our websites, which some of you may have been to, either leaveworkoneday.com or therealestaterenegades.com, perhaps even one of our free investing classes that we put on at CanadianRealEstateInvestingTraining.com. So just so you guys know where you're coming from. So I guess we'll just get started. Let's just make sure JP's with us. JP, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, great. So we'll just kind of get started. I know you're on a little bit of a tight schedule today, so let's maybe just go over a bunch of your experiences as an Income for Life member. So we often get questions from people looking to make their first real estate investment purchase. So a lot of people that work with us have not invested at all before, and I think you were at the same point when you started working with us. Is that right?
That's exactly right. I had no real estate investment experience or anything like that.
Okay, so let's just start at the beginning then. Why did you want to invest in real estate?
Well, basically, I guess, I hear a lot about it, real estate, how it's something to invest in, and how you hear all these people and you see all these TV shows, people flipping stuff, doing this, and, it just seemed, it just interests me always, and never really knew how to get into it because I know that there's also, a lot of financial risk and all that kind of stuff, and that's really sort of what was holding me back a lot about actually doing it. I didn't really know how.
Okay, and then so you were watching those TV shows and things like that, and what was it that interested you? The profit numbers at the end, is that kind of?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they're doing something, and all of a sudden, a month later, they've got $20,000, and you're like,
Yeah, I think that can be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So then when you found out about the Income for Life program, what was it that made you kind of take that next step and apply to become a member?
I think after I read through everything, and it almost seemed too easy when you read it through and you look at it all and you think, okay, like as long as if you look at even the big picture, like 5 years, 10 years, and you're like, wow, I could be basically not having to work if I didn't want to, or something like that, and it also appealed to me. It wasn't something that I had to put a great outlay of money on. I wasn't, doing $50,000 in renovations on a home to try and make money, and it seemed like a good program, but I was obviously a little bit skeptical because it seemed a little too good, so that's basically what I wanted to see more about it, find out more about it.
Okay, so I guess the fact that it was a little bit different than what the standard stuff is that you see on TV, let's say.
Definitely. Okay. Yeah, I like the idea of not having to worry about renovations or doing that kind of stuff.
Okay. And then had you looked into any other programs in the past?
I had seen some. I knew some friends that had done some just street flipping of houses, and so I knew the work that they had to do. I mean, they did make money in the end, but, I knew what they went through and the hassles they went through and everything like that. So I'd seen firsthand a little bit of what was going on. I'd seen some of the stuff on TV where, they had people just seem like buying homes and painting them and flipping them and stuff like that. But, just the little things like that.
Okay. So the friends or friends of the friends that you're talking about, from what you've seen, you didn't feel that, I guess, the work was kind of justified, the money that they had made in those experiences at least?
Yeah, one was driving up I don't know how many people, you know, he lives in Toronto and he was driving to Barrie, which is about an hour for people that don't really know the area. And he was driving there every day after work for 2 months just to work on this house so he could get it ready to rent out. So, I mean, sure, he was, I think, you know, in the long run, you know, 20 years he'll make money. But that seemed like a lot of work for not a lot of profit.
Yeah.
Any, very quickly at all, so...
No, I could see that. That's a lot. That's a pretty big time investment. Every day back in work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think my wife would be too happy about it if I was doing that every night. But we'll see.
That's a very understanding one. I don't.
All right. Cool. So that's a good story. All right, and then, so can you walk everyone listening through, I guess, how you've used the Income for Life training and coaches? I mean, I think most of the people listening know something about the program and that, you know, working with a wealth coach, and there are some free training classes involved for our members. What were your kind of experiences with those classes?
Well, basically, I took the approach. I started talking to my coach, and... really, the coach was like, you know, just why don't you come? The coach really said, just come to the classes, and you know, then at least you know a little more about what the system's all about, what the program's all about, and then the classes are taught by the coaches too, so you get to know the coaches better and everything like that. So I just showed up for the Fast Start class, and you know, listened to it and thought, well, this is pretty good, and then right away signed up for the next one, which is the your home for top dollar training, I think it's called, and then went through that, and so heard the system a little more, and then through that got to know the coaches better, and then also met other members, and you know, I think in one of the classes someone had already bought their home, so I sort of knew that, you know, people are actually doing this, and then after that just any questions I had, I just would write them down, and then I'd just go over them with my coach, and it worked out really well, because, I mean, everything is answered, and I actually went back to the Rent Your Own for Top Dollar training a second time, just because there's a lot of information, so I picked up some more information, and I did all of that before, as I was in the process of searching for my first home, because I used my Income for Life coach, obviously, to search for a home in my area where I wanted to invest in.
Okay, so you kind of jumped right into it during the. So you signed up, you started going to these classes, and then you just decided to take the next step and move forward from there, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I guess the person in the class has already purchased a home. Did that give you a little bit of confidence that people were actually doing it and it wasn't maybe just too good to be true on paper?
Yeah, because it's one thing to read it on a piece of paper that you get, you know, a marketing piece of paper or whatever you want to call it. But then once you meet a real person who's like me, who's not, you know, we're not millionaires and we're just, you know, average guys, and he's doing it, and then even before I closed on my first home, I went to one of the seminars, and then the seminar was full of everyone that, you know, multiple property owners and all that kind of stuff, and so you meet all these people that are doing it, the same thing that I was doing, and you really see that the system works and that this whole thing actually does work.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's great. And the seminar, was that one of the quarterly meetings that we had?
Yes. Yes, it was one of the, you had a seminar with one of your accountants.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Yeah, it was very useful because now he's my accountant. So,
I'm sure he's happy about that.
Yeah.
All right. So you leveraged the training classes and I guess the experience and guidance of the coach, from what you're telling me, to kind of track down the right property in the right area?
Yep, exactly. I sort of knew where, you know, I knew where I wanted to go, but I had no idea what to look for.
Okay.
And so I went out, the first time I went with my coach, we had a certain price range we were looking in, and, you know, we found some decent things, and then we probably would have looked at, you know, maybe you know, 6-7 homes. And we wouldn't really, we didn't, the income for the coach wasn't really happy with what we saw, and I could see it too. We, you know, we just weren't getting the really nice homes. We were getting decent homes, but not really nice ones. So the next time we went out, we upped the price a little bit, like only like $10,000 on our list prices. And that's where we figured out in that market that we could find a lot of choice in a lot of nice homes.
Okay. So when you say, you know, both of you weren't really happy with what you had found, you were looking for something a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
Just so, you know, I can understand where you're coming from and everyone else listening can understand, how, what was it that wasn't nice? Like, what were you looking for? Like, how did you select the home?
Right. I guess the way I took it, when we were driving to the neighborhood to get to where we were going, I was starting to think, you know, okay, I'm going to have people coming to this home to want to rent it out. Are they going to get a first good impression just driving through the streets getting to the home? And then once you're on the street where the home is the street kept up? Or the, you know, is everything nice? And for the general, most part, I mean, the areas were, you know, they were well kept. But just, you know, the first impression on the home, what, you know, is it clean? Is it, you know, is it taken care of? You can tell if people take care of the homes a lot of times over the outside. You know, is the grass cut? Is it, you know, well kept and that sort of stuff? And then once you're inside, does it, you know, once does the home have enough room in it? Is there enough bedrooms? And what's the area like? Is it close to a school? Is it close to a park or shopping? And those kind of things that people look for and people ask about. I found out when I started showing the home.
Okay. So were you focusing on a specific type of property? Like, were you looking for, you know, a student rental, which I think some are popular in your area,
yeah.
New construction, which I know there's a ton of it going on every place,
yeah.
Or like a rundown property. Were you focusing on anything specific?
I was looking at a single detached home, single family home, detached home that someone could just move right into without doing anything, and the house that I didn't have to do anything to really get ready. That's really what I was looking for.
Okay. So you were following the system again and not looking for, you know, what a lot of people look for when they first look at investing in real estate, probably because of what they see on TV and things like that, whereas this,
right,
the rundown property that you didn't want to dump yeah. a lot of money into and drive up to, you know, the house or bury for an hour every day after work.
Right, yeah. I didn't want any surprises so either. And so, you know, you just didn't, you know, once you start doing renovations or ripping out a wall here or there, who knows what you can get into. So, you know, I didn't want anything like that.
Okay. And then did you find it beneficial working with your coach that had worked with other members? Like, was he able to shed some light on onto the specific homes and things he had seen and to kind of help you make the decision and feel more comfortable moving forward?
Oh, most definitely. Because the coach, I mean, you know, they had been through it already, you know, 100 times, and literally probably over 100 times, and just you hear from them all the little things that I wouldn't even, you know, thought of, and they, you know, they think, you know, that we were, one of the homes I looked at was a really, really nice home, you know, brand new, you know, steel roof and hardwood throughout and everything like that, and I was actually pretty excited about it, and then one of the coaches, the coach I was working with at the time, there was actually a second coach in the house with me at that time, and he said, you know, this is a nice home, but he said, I wouldn't recommend it for your first home. And I kind of, you know, was like, well, why? You know, I don't understand. And, well, the home was on a very busy street, and the home was listed as a three-bedroom, but the third bedroom was more really like a little nursery. There really wasn't a lot of room in it. And he said, you know, this home does have potential, because it was a beautiful home inside. But he said he wouldn't recommend it to me in my first home because it may have taken a little more comfort level and a little more knowledge of the system and the local area and a little more, you know, maybe even comfort level dealing with people and dealing with people who want to rent it out to actually get that one rented. It would just put it in a little bit more. And he said he didn't want me to get in over my head on the first one, just because I was learning. So wanted a very simple home to show and a very simple home to rent out. So that's what we ended up with.
That's a good story. I actually didn't know I didn't know that story. So that's a good one. So there was actually like a little bit of vested interest on his part to kind of make you more successful.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. No, that's great. Thanks for sharing that one. So one of the biggest fears that we hear typically is that with a lot of beginner investors, there's some fear in moving forward, which can be normal anytime we're moving out of our comfort zone, right? And I'm not sure if you had some of the same feelings. I know when I bought my first property, when I was 21, I think, I bought my first property, and when I left the lawyer's office after signing the papers, my heart was in my throat, you know, so I was pretty scared about after I had closed the property. So
yeah.
I think we all have that little bit of fear in us. One of the things I hear a lot is that they're scared they're not going to get a good tenant, or what we call a tenant buyer, into the property. So can you maybe share with us your experience and then kind of what happened with you after you closed on the property?
Yeah, pretty much the exact same thing. You know, I found the home that I liked, and so I was all excited about it, and I still had about a month before I had to close on the property, and then as it got closer, then you start thinking about the money. Oh, now I have to start paying a mortgage on this and all this kind of stuff. And sure, and then it was the same thing. That, you know, the house was really close to closing, and then I thought, okay. And, you know, the one that's in a mortgage is at least you have a month before you actually have to pay that first mortgage payment. And really, any time I started getting apprehensive or, you know, really starting to worry about it, I just would go through all of the material from the website on the Income for Life system, because it's got everything right there about, okay, it's got a checklist of, you know, make sure you do this, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and you just go through it. So before the house closed, you know, I got my sign for the front lawn, and I started thinking about my classified ad, and I had the classified ad reviewed by my coach. You know, I set up my voicemail system. I had people call my voicemail system, listen to it, just to, does it make sense to them? You know, not even people that were even working in real estate, just friends and things like that. I just had them call in and said, you know, does that make sense to you? And, you know, got suggestions from them and suggestions from my coach again on the voicemail. And I just kept doing all of that stuff because it helped me be prepared right away, because then as soon as the house can close, then I can start putting people in, getting people through the house and to find a tenant owner.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, the one thing I'm hearing from that, I guess it goes to the first point of view just moving forward, is that you actually took action.
Yeah.
You didn't kind of get stuck like a deer in headlights.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it was good because the coach always would say to me, you know, just make sure you get things finished. And I mean, the coach was there through the whole process, and so any questions I had about really anything, you know, I had some, you know, you get going through it, and you get I had the lawyers asking me some questions right up to the very last day, and I called my coach, because I really didn't, I was like, oh man, you know, this sounds like a big deal, and then, because the lawyer's office makes it sound like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, the coach said, no, don't worry, you know, just do this and this, and no problem, and so it was really nice to have that extra resource there, going through it all.
Okay. So, you know, you place your classified ads, and you had this voicemail script, and then I guess you returned the calls like you were shown in the classes?
Yeah, exactly. I sort of did a few practice ones by myself, and, you know, and sure, the first couple were a little bit rough going, because I started getting, because in the classes, you don't want to get, it's always taught, don't get caught on the call for a long period of time. And so that was the biggest thing I had, was I wanted to answer all the people's questions over the phone, and then I quickly realized that doesn't work out very well, which exactly is what you'd say in the training. So, just started making calls, and then you start getting in more of a rhythm on the calls.
Okay. Well, then, did you put any, like, you've done a lot, you know, having other people check out your voicemail script and things like that. So did you put any of your own twists on the system, or did you really just kind of follow the system as it was given to you?
I didn't know any other way to do it, so really I just followed the system exactly as it was laid out. I followed the voicemail scripts. The only part I worked on my own was, you know, a little part in the middle where you're actually describing the house and the area.
Okay.
But other than that, I used the voicemail script word for word.
Okay. And then how did it feel, I guess, having that system? Because you said you've never done anything like this before, so... Like, you know, how did it feel having that system to kind of refer back to instead of just running blind?
Oh, for sure. Like, it made all the difference in the world. I don't think I really... If I didn't have the voicemail system, or even the entire incomplete system, I mean, you look at... As you're going through it, and especially when you're placing your classifieds, and then you start looking at your classified ads and everything like that, and you see how many people out there are... don't do things very well, or don't, you know, there's a whole lot of people out there that are making life a whole lot more difficult for themselves, and you start seeing that as you go through it, and I guess it, doing it all, I know the system is used by so many more people that have been successful in the program.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing to me, why I always kept going back to it, because it was great having it there, because I wouldn't have known what to put in the classified ad or what to put on a voicemail, you know, instead of just saying, hey, give me a call. You know, I want you to move into my house.
Yeah, I think that's a big point. I think, you know, a lot of beginner mistakes especially can be avoided by, you know, learning from the group of successful people doing it in your backyard, right?
And all the time-saving tips, actually, too, something I never even thought of at the beginning. You know, during the training, they teach you, that's why we have the voicemail system, to not have my cell phone ringing off the hook. And so it didn't seem like I was answering calls, you know, all day, every day, because I would spend, I picked three different times during the week that I would return all my calls, and so that's part of the system. So I would, you know, spend half an hour three nights a week to return my calls, and then it was done. And especially, and then same with starting to show the house. You know, if I didn't know anything, I would have just set different times for people to come to the house. Instead, I was doing all my showings in, you know, an hour, getting six people through or something like that.
Yeah, so leveraging the you know, the lessons taught, from I guess, the lessons learned from other investors different...
Saved me hours and hours on this, for sure.
Okay, yeah, no, I know I've been through that, running down to a property because someone wants to see it, and I go run down, and they don't even show up, you know, 2 hours later. I'm like, how can they not show up in 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's definitely lessons that I had learned along the way as well. Okay, so you'd never done any of this before, like we went over. So, you know, you place some ads, you return some calls, and then you were just bringing up that you were showing the property. So, following the system, you got some people out there, and then when people actually showed up at the property, how did it feel? Like, you're not a professional salesperson or anything, so was it intimidating?
I was nervous at first, but in the system, they just, and especially, and then talked to my coach a lot before my first showing, and you know, at that time the coach even was offering to come out, and I said, you know, don't worry about it, I think I'll be okay this time. I wasn't too bad, and because the coach said, you know, just keep it casual. Part of the system is we're not trying to do this big sales pitch. I didn't have to, you know, there's no script to tell someone when they walk in the door or whatever. Really, the system, the way it's set up, it's pretty simple. You have your sign-in sheet at the front door, and you have the house, you have the home ready, all the lights on, and it's clean, and it's ready to go, and all I did was basically sit in the kitchen and read the book, and, you know, I went up, when someone came to the door, I welcomed them, and I told them who I was, and I just said, you know, feel free to walk around the entire home, and if they have any questions, I would be in the kitchen, and that's what I did.
Okay, so you were comfortable with it, like you're not, you didn't feel like you were had to present this big sales pitch or anything.
Yeah, no, because I'm not good at some big sales pitch. So
okay,
it wouldn't have worked out very well if I had to.
Okay, so let's go to the results. Like not having that sales pitch in your arsenal, or just, you know, like you said, just kind of sitting in the kitchen, reading a book. I hope it was a good book.
Yeah, it was. Okay.
So, you know, with the approach that you took, did you manage to collect the upfront payment? And like, well, first let's start from the beginning. Did you manage to find a tenant buyer for the home using that approach?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then, you know, from that tenant buyer, did you manage to collect an upfront payment? And I don't know your numbers on this one, so I don't know if you collected an upfront payment as well as the rent.
Yes, I got both. I got a down payment and the first and last payment, first and last month's rent payment on the home before they moved in. And
okay.
I never paid a mortgage payment on the home.
Oh, that's pretty nice. So what was your timeline to get it, to, you know, until you found the tenant buyer?
It was a couple. The lady had come through 2 weeks after I closed, and then she called me back a few days later, and she brought back her boyfriend, and then he came through. And so it was about 3 weeks where they had decided. They actually came out and said, yes, like we want it. And then I had one other person who was, the biggest mistake I had was, you know, someone was coming through and they were like, oh, you know, I think I like it and this and that. And I said, well, you know, someone else is going to be, you know, coming in tomorrow. And that person was like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to overstep on their bounds or something like that. And I was like, well, it's, you know, it's the first person who wants it. You know, that was the biggest thing, because the people kept saying, the first lady who came through was like, oh, don't give it away, don't give it away. And I was like, well, you know, I can't really just hold this property here, you know, for you.
Yeah.
I definitely had some interested people through. So it was about 3 weeks before I found the couple that moved in.
Okay, so that's great. So you definitely saw the demand. I mean, in three weeks' time, you had two potential people and one you decided to go with. So
yeah. And I had other people that filled out applications that just, they weren't the right fit.
Yeah.
So I had other people that were interested.
So you were actually able to select who you thought would be the right fit for the home.
Yes.
Okay, so that's it. So a few weeks after closing, just to recap in my head, you had rent plus a down payment, so something on top of rent. So you had thousands of dollars in your pocket before you even put a mortgage payment towards the property.
Yeah.
Okay. And then from your experience with what you've seen some of your friends do, you know, fixing up those homes and renting it out, like, was there anything like that for them?
The one that I talked about earlier up in Barrie, I mean, he had to cover the cost of that home for, he was renovating it for 2 months, so he had 2 months to cover the cost, and then I don't know for sure how long it took him to get someone in there, you know, even if he was lucky and got someone in a month, because I know that rental properties are harder to fill than rent-to-own properties. I found that out as going through. I didn't realize that the timelines for filling some rental properties. So he had about 3 months at least of no money. And then when he only gets first and last month's rent payment before they move in. There's no down payment or anything like that.
Yeah, and you know, and that's a good point. Something I didn't ask you, when you bought the house, so we were, you know, looking for nice homes. Now, did you put any money into the home, or, you know, any renovations and any work before you were showing it in that 3 week time?
I rented a steam cleaner for a couple hours one afternoon, so I did some of the carpets. So I maybe spent, on the high end, I spent a good day in the house, just doing some cleaning.
Okay.
It wasn't, you know, anything crazy. I mean, maybe five hours.
Okay.
Maybe so nothing crazy. A couple $100 in a steam cleaner and a mop.
Okay, so you had to clean the home. So that was it. That's everything you did.
And the home wasn't even that bad. It was clean to begin with. I just wanted to make it that little extra bit more.
Well, yeah, no, that's a good idea. I mean, you want to make it appealing to the people that are...
Yeah, I wanted the floors to be shiny and things like that. So that's really why I did it.
Okay. No, that's great, because I know some of my earlier investments, like I was saying before, I dumped in a little bit of money and did some renovations and things like that, and it can turn into, as soon as you start ripping down walls or changing something, the snowball effect happens.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Investing in homes that don't need any work and being able to collect thousands of dollars only a few weeks after you close on the home is a big thing. So that's great. But you know what? It wasn't just smooth sailing, I don't think. I know this story a bit, so maybe you can share with everyone else. I think you had someone who wanted to review all the agreements.
Yeah.
Like, how did that go? Like, what were their concerns, or how did it go? What's the story here?
I had an agreement with this couple. It was like a, I don't even know what day of the week. Say it was a Thursday night. It was about 3 weeks after I closed. And they agreed on, the down payment and the first and last month's rent and everything. And so we said we were going to meet the next night at a coffee shop. And I would give them the papers, and they would sign it, and they were going to bring half of the money that they were going to owe that night. It was going to be non-refundable deposit. So I thought, okay, well, here we go. And I was all excited, and I went home, and I, got the agreements all done up, and I typed them up and printed them out and showed up at the donut shop, and he looked at me and he said, I could tell something wasn't right as soon as I walked in. Their body language just wasn't someone who was excited about to move into their new home. And he said, last night I called my uncle, and my uncle is a big real estate agent. It was about half an hour from where we were. And he said he deals with multi-million dollar this and that, and he went on, and he said, I'm just not sure about this whole program, and he doesn't think that it's a fair price for the home, and because we have bio prices listed for the tenant owners right up front, so they know exactly how much the house is going to cost, and he was concerned about the value that I was putting in the home and all this kind of stuff. And I was thrown back, because I was walking in there ready to congratulate these people because they were moving in, and all of a sudden he turns around and he does all this.
Yeah, he wanted to wrap it up, right?
Yeah, and he's trying to get his uncle from, on the phone and everything like this, and I was like, what is going on here? So eventually I said, obviously this doesn't, this, you obviously have some concerns here with this whole thing. So I gave him the documents, and I said right up front, I said, I'm not the person that should be speaking to your uncle about this. I said, if he has a concern about it, I said, here, I'll give you the documents. We don't have to sign them right now. Fax them to them. Let him read them. And they were like, okay, because they turned around, they just wanted to rent the home. That was their thing. They said to me, well, why don't we just rent it? Don't worry about down payment. We'll just rent it from you. And I said, no. I said, I'm not interested in that at all. I said, that wasn't something. And he turned to me and he said, wow, I really thought you were going to let me just rent it. And I said, no. I said, I really like you as a couple. I think you're perfect for the home. But I said, I'm not interested in just renting this home out. I want someone in there who wants to buy it and who wants this home to be theirs. So they left. And they spent the weekend. That's right, because it was at the end of the week, and so we agreed to meet on the Monday. He was going to see his uncle, so he took all the paperwork with him. And we agreed at a time on the Monday, and that weekend I still went out and showed the home, because I had no idea if I was going to see these people ever again. And then I had someone else interested on the home on the Sunday still. They wanted more time to think about it, and I met these people on the Monday, and I walked in thinking that, I talked to my coach between then, and the coach said, look, if this uncle, really needs someone to talk to, my coach said, let them call me, don't worry about it, and, my coach kind of set me up for, they're probably going to have some changes here, because he said, if I know, sort of, big shot real estate agents, quote unquote. He says, you know, they're going to want to make some change, so they, just for the sake of making a change.
Yeah.
And so I was prepared basically for the worst, and I walked in, and he just looked at me and said, okay, we're fine.
Yeah.
I was like, what? That's it? Like, I don't understand.
So they caught you off guard both times.
Yeah, they did. And that night they signed the papers and gave me a check. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, it's funny, there's always something, especially with the first one, there always seems to be some speed bump right at the end.
Yeah. Like,
when, just when you think everything's done.
I'm like, this isn't in the system, what's going on?
Yeah. No, that's great. I guess it comes to the point, the value of using Canadian contracts, like legal Canadian contracts, written up by lawyers here, so there's that reference point. So any big shot real estate agent or lawyer, quote unquote, can look at them and feel comfortable with them, right?
Yeah.
So all right. So I mean, that's a good story. That was your story with your investment, which is great. And I got to give you credit really for taking that next step and moving forward. And a lot of people overlook that and they don't give themselves some credit, because sometimes the system is given a lot of credit, which is great. It's nice having that there, but without taking that initial step and implementing it and moving forward with your first investment, it's not going to do anything for you. So the application of that knowledge was really big. So you got to pat yourself on the back for that. So that was a good job.
Oh, thank you.
So someone listening to this that was in your situation probably about, 4 or 5 months ago, not thinking about investing in real estate, not doing anything about it, maybe just starting to research it a little bit, but wanting to get into it, what can you share with someone that's in that situation? Someone that's looking to start but just hasn't started yet.
I would definitely say read all the information, because, I mean, there's a ton of stuff that you can get from the income play system for free, just to look at it and get all the research. There's a lot of questions. The one thing I like about it is it's all up front. There was no big surprises once I joined and once I got into it. There was no big, oh, and by the way, now you have to do this and this, or, oh, by the way, there's this extra fee. And any kind of money things was all up front. I knew exactly what it was going to cost me. And it was, I don't know, I mean, you guys could charge a whole lot more, because I know some, my friend, the guy I referenced earlier, who has that rental property up in Barrie, he's paying about 5 times more a month for his monthly fees he's part of a real estate organization, investment organization, and he pays a lot more than I do. And, he has to go to trainings and seminars where there's, 500 people there, where you limit your trainings to a lot less people, so you can get a lot of one-on-one talk with the coach. And you put everything up front, and the whole system is designed so everything's up front. So even the tenant owners, they know all of the details up front. So it's a really easy system to follow, and there's no trickery to it. And so it's you can follow everything with good conscience, and a lot of people hear about in real estate, oh, they did this backroom deal or whatever. There's nothing like that going on.
And it works.
And it works.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. And you can really, I would say, if just join and go to the trainings, because they're all right there, and they'll answer all of your questions. And if you come up with any more questions, your coach will just answer all the questions. And that's what I did. I just kept asking more and more questions, and it's right there. It's there for you to take if you just put in a little bit of work, and it's not that much work for the financial gain that you're getting out of it.
Okay, that's great. I mean, that's I think anyone can definitely take away from that. So what about you? I mean, you have this one under your belt. What's next for you? Is there more in store for John Paul Hunt?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I always think of that little I think it was the free newsletter, there's a little picture of different homes and they're all lined up, and it says you start with 3 and then it doubles, and then you do this and it doubles and you do that. And I can just see now, especially now working, I've talked to my mortgage broker who I got through you, and I know what I can get, and I know exactly, I'm just excited about moving on to the next one, because know, I learned a lot from the first one, and, you know, I want to keep going with it. I can see the power of it, that, you know, sure, it's not a get rich overnight, but it's every 6 months you can look at yourself and go, wow, now I control that much more real estate than that.
Yeah, it starts, it can, you know, you see the power of it starting to add
up
with a portfolio, right?
Exactly, yeah. And just the, how it can snowball once you get going. And once you get your first one done, then you sort of get a feel of the system works, and then you're even more comfortable for the second one and the third one.
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely looking for the next step, next one right now.
And that picture you mentioned, that's an interesting thing that you said, because you know, I've had other members say that, you know, they wake up and they actually look at that picture and it motivates them, and that's kind of the homes buying homes concept that we talk about, how to kind of increase your portfolio every 2 years without any extra money in your pocket, really, right? So it can start making a difference.
Yeah, and it's everything from the, you know, it's really joining the system and then getting the monthly newsletters, which are full of, I've learned so much just from those little monthly newsletters that you guys send out, and from the CDs and everything like that. I mean,
that's a lot of work put into those monthly newsletters.
I bet. I mean, there's so much information I've learned from that to help me financially, just financially, in a financial planning sense. Like, forget about even real estate, because, I mean, Rob Milton, he writes some great articles, and then yourself and Tom write articles specifically for, you know, our area around here. And, you think about money in a little different way, instead of just going to work, buying something nice, and coming home or something. Like, you really think about putting money to work for you, and really how, with a little bit of, mindset change, how powerful that concept can be.
All right. Yeah. No. I appreciate that. So that's great. Thanks a lot for taking the time today, and I guess sharing your stories and information. It's been an interesting call. So, so if anyone listening to this would like to learn more about our Income for Life program, we really focus on, like we said earlier, the Toronto area, the Golden Horseshoe area, is where we really focus on our investments. But if you'd like to learn more, you can visit www.leaveworkoneday.com. So that's www.leaveworkoneday.com. Or if you'd like to come to one of the free training classes, you can register for the next class at CanadianRealEstateTraining.com. That's www.CanadianRealEstateTraining.com. Or we have more options for you. If you have heard and you've heard enough and you just want to apply to see if you qualify to join our membership, you can apply right now online at www.IncomeForLifeApplication.com. So that's it for today's session, everyone. Thanks a lot for listening in. And JP, thanks again for your time.
No problem.